This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom, which is also available on my website, spotlightonfreedom.com. If you have been reading poll numbers concerning how the people of this country intend to vote during the November election, you will notice a very strange anomaly in voter comments during the past few months. Surveys consistently show that many of those who voted for Hillary Clinton in the primaries have pledged to vote for John McCain in the presidential election. I will set aside the obvious question concerning why someone would vote against their own interest or their country's good just for malice. Rather, for those who have pledged to support McCain in any way, let us underscore some serious issues concerning candidate McCain. First, we need to revisit McCain's role in the Keating Five scandal. If you remember Charles Keating, he was the kingpin of the SNL debacle of the 1980s, which cost taxpayers $2.6 billion in government bailouts. Keating was eventually convicted of 73 counts of wire and bankruptcy fraud. John McCain was one of four senators who met with Keating to find ways to stop the Senate investigation of SNL frauds. McCain even went so far as to meet with Ed Gray, the chairman of the regulatory board, to persuade him to delay the seizing of SNLs. McCain also made at least 9 trips paid for by Keating, 3 of which were to Keating's house in the Bahamas. Importantly, McCain did not disclose those trips, which are required by House rules, until after the scandal broke in 1989 and he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Second, we need to explore McCain's POW credentials. There are 2 main questions any McCain supporter needs to address. First, what kind of collaboration really took place between McCain and the North Vietnamese during his POW years? Second, why did McCain quash a congressional vote in favor of investigating the issue of 2,000 POWs that were left behind in Vietnam? Regarding McCain's experience as a POW, there are many former POWs and soldiers who have raised reasonable and serious questions about the veracity of McCain's POW stories. Even more disconcerting is the question they raise concerning the degree to which McCain cooperated with the North Vietnamese during his captivity. For example, according to researcher and author Doug Valentine, retired Army Colonel Earl Hopper, a veteran of World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, contends that McCain divulged classified information to the North Vietnamese that they used to hone their air defense system. In addition, it is well known that McCain participated in radio broadcasts used by the North Vietnamese to demoralize American soldiers. As Valentine puts it, what makes John McCain unfit for office in this issue, even more important than the collaboration with the enemy, is the fact that he has managed to rewrite his collaboration into political capital. He's a war hero. Respect him or die. The second POW issue concerns McCain's nullifying congressional investigation into the remaining POWs in Vietnam. Here is what McCain has done with this POW issue as a congressman. First, in 1991, he successfully got a bill passed in the Senate called the McCain Bill, which keeps his own POW record sealed in perpetuity. Second, he has kept hidden critical documents about a body of prisoners who were alive but secretly held back by Hanoi when the war ended to be used as bargaining fuel for war reparations. Literally thousands of POW documents that could have been declassified long ago and provided to the families of the missing and the public have been legislated into secrecy. John McCain was the major player in this lockdown. Third, in 1996, McCain succeeded in gutting the Missing Service Personnel Act, which contained penalties for any government official who destroyed, withheld, or covered up information concerning POWs. While we're at it, we need to examine McCain's irresponsible and completely false statements, even before Bush made them, concerning the role Iraq played on 9/11 and the anthrax attacks on the Capitol shortly thereafter. Finally, we need to examine McCain's lack of ability to control his anger. This is demonstrated not so much by his cursing at his Senate colleagues, for which he is now famous, but by his alleged assault on his constituents who went to appeal to him not to block the Senate investigation of the POWs remaining in Iraq. On June 20, 1996, McCain allegedly assaulted a family member of a Vietnam War POW as a group of about 15 other family members of POW and MIAs watched in astonishment. Within 1 month, 5 ethics complaints had been filed with the Senate Ethics Committee by 5 different eyewitnesses, but the Senate Ethics Committee refused to investigate the matter. So if you are, or know of someone who is, a turncoat from liberalism to McCain conservatism just because their preferred candidate didn't win the Democratic primary, or if you know any diehard McCain supporters, These are some critical and weighty questions that need to be addressed before a vote for McCain has any merit in the court of reason. They are questions which the mainstream media will ignore completely during the coming race to the White House, but they are surely questions which deserve intense scrutiny as they cast a dark shadow on a man who would be successor to King George II. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.